It's 11 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. A group of Indy-occupied a Catholic estate in Wisconsin has evacuated the house and is now apparently in jail. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The National Guard says it evacuated the group of Indians early Tuesday. The Indians were then taken by local authorities to Shawano County Jail. An Indian spokesman says there were about 35 Indians arrested. No charges against the Indians have been announced. The evacuation came after the Indians and the Catholic brothers who own the estate reached an agreement. It gave the Indians the estate for $1 and good faith that the Indians would recompense the brothers for the value of the estate. More CBS News coming up.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
Like give your cards to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1? That's the question. When you catch the common cold, sneezing, drips, congestion. Then take 12-hour contact. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. The Tiny Time pills do it. Both the others contain things for aches and fever. The liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Give your cold to contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
The House Ways and Means Committee has begun writing a tax cut bill. On Monday, the committee voted an $8.4 billion reduction in taxes, mostly for low and moderate income people. The reduction would take the form of an increase in the minimum standard deduction and a special tax credit for the poorest wage earners. Under the plan, wage earners who made $4,000 but paid no federal taxes would receive $200 from the government. On Tuesday, the committee plans to discuss proposals for individual tax rebates for 1974. Congress has now received President Ford's budget proposals. The $349 billion budget contains a $52 billion deficit, and that worries Republicans and Democrats alike. Republican Senator Robert Dole says he just does not understand such a big deficit.
I find it hard to comprehend. I don't fully understand a deficit of that size, and I don't think the American people are going to understand it very soon either. 6 months ago, we were talking about cuts in federal spending and a surtax and a need to tighten our belts and, in effect, not to balance the budget but to hold down deficits. Now, in effect, we say that it's necessary to have the largest peacetime deficit in history, and I assume the $52 billion is a conservative figure.
Senator Robert Dole. Democratic Senator Hubert Humphrey says that such a deficit means cutting services to the elderly.
This $52 billion deficit is based upon the belief that the Congress will hold down Social Security benefits to the elderly at 5%. Rather than the cost of living increase. Now, no senator or congressman that I know of is going to deny our senior citizens a cost of living increase in their Social Security benefits. The law, the present law, requires that. The president is saying that he wants to slow it down to 5%. I consider that unfair, undesirable, unacceptable, and it never will pass.
Democratic Senator Hubert Humphrey. Now, this message.
In America, M.G. Austin wants you to join the Marinas and save $400. The Marinas are the tough family sedans from British Leyland. Right now, your M.G. Austin dealer has a limited supply of 1974 Marinas. The low $28.99 four-door price has been slashed by $400 to $24.99. There's a similar saving on the two-door GT. That's got to be the best automotive buy in America. So march down to your M.G. Austin dealer. Join the Marinas. Price does not include transportation, local taxes, preparation charges, or options.
Inflation, it hits us daily. And if you're in business, you face another kind of inflation. Adflation, spiraling ad costs just when the need to advertise is greater than ever. What can you do when print costs escalate? When producing a TV commercial cuts sharply into your budget for time? You can do what you do every day. Turn to radio. Radio is effective, inexpensive. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight inflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
The Air Force says that the four crew members on two fighter jet planes are all right after the planes collided in the air Monday night over southern Vermont. A spokesman for the Air Force says the collision happened during a refueling attempt. Former White House counsel John Dean on Monday night told students at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia, that it would be tragic to see a former president put in jail. Dean said, "I don't think Richard Nixon is a free man today. I think he has a conscience keeping him as in prison as any man can be." Dean told several thousand people that he has decided to continue his lecture tour across the country because he's in debt and needs the money. Earlier, Dean had said that he was considering canceling the tour because of the moral question of whether he should commercialize on Watergate. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
An electronic locator signal believed to be from a missing single-engine plane has turned out to be a false lead. The pilot of a search helicopter says the signal came from a plane parked on a private runway and had been accidentally activated. Still missing is Ronnie A. Anus of Corvallis, who disappeared yesterday on a flight from Auburn, California to Corvallis. A lock at the John Day Dam on the Columbia River was damaged today, and engineers say barge traffic could be blocked for up to 6 months. The accident occurred when a barge caught on the lock and wrenched it out of whack. Officers are considering emergency methods of getting at least some traffic through, however, but Union Pacific and Burlington Northern Railroads will carry the bulk of cargo normally transported by barge. The Oregon Senate has passed and sent to the House a bill that would allow both sexes to marry at age 16 with parental consent and 18 without. Under present law, males cannot marry until age 18. The Senate Transportation Committee today heard testimony on a bill that would put Oregon in the mass transit business. That measure would create a common carrier division in the State Department of Transportation. It would have the authority to regulate air, rail, and bus service in the state, and supporters of the idea say it would allow Oregon to create more passenger train routes by subsidizing railroads or by developing its own rail system. 97 sports and college basketball action, Central Washington 54, Oregon College of Education 52. Trailblazer action live tomorrow night from Chicago, airtime 5:10 on KOIN with the Lenny Wilkins Show. 97 weather, rain tonight, showers tomorrow, decreasing tomorrow night and Wednesday with partial clearing, lows in the mid-30s with highs in the mid-40s. Southeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour with higher gusts and the chance of rainfall 90% tonight, then 80% by tomorrow. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 40 degrees. The time now is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. It is said, and truly said, that who plays with fire is sure to get burned. It is also said, and truly said, that as ye sow, so shall ye reap. Seems to me there's another one, too. Oh, yes, the mills of the gods grind slow, but grind exceeding fine. Those of us who, through living, learn the underlying truth in these proverbs, take care not to play with fire, to sow carefully, and to give as little grist as possible to those grinding mills. Not so Kay Wiley, devil-may-care, fun-loving Kay Wiley.
You're going to kill me.
Come on now, sweetie. What makes you think that?
What other reason would you have for luring me here?
Well, who lured you? You wanted to come? Wanted to be alone with me? Didn't you?
No, Yes, I don't know.
Well, I do, sweetie. Your trouble is you can't make up your mind. Well, let me make it up for you.
No. No!
Our mystery drama, Death on Skis, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Rosemary Murphy and Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and imported Vigna Rosé wine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
This is Nikki Giovanni speaking for the March of Dimes. I really like words. And, as a poet, my work depends on them. Sometimes, just a few words can carry a very important message. Like, help fight birth defects for the health of our future generations.
So join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems?
And then I'll take them along.
Wait just a moment, madam. Do you really need all of those things?
Why, who are you, sir?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau, and I have a shopping tip for you. You know, sometimes people buy on impulse. A pretty package, an unusual color, something you really don't need and may return. Now, that takes your time, the store's time, and you may find that some items will not be exchanged. Remember, if you don't need it, don't buy it.
You're right, and I appreciate your help.
Not at all, madam, not at all. Just another service from your Better Business Bureau.
Certain immutable laws in this world of ours, and one of them is that we, all of us, must sooner or later pay the piper. A simple law, easy to understand, not too difficult to obey, really. And yet there are a good many who never seem to understand it, and rarely, if ever, obey it, until too late. Kay Wiley, wife of Dan Wiley, the novelist, was one of these. Gay, irresponsible, fun gal Kay, who let the piper play on and on till the day he presented his bill.
Well, what do you say, you two? Shall we ski back down to the inn?
The murder scene getting on your nerves, Dan.
Yeah. And you a mystery writer?
A writer who has to get his latest manuscript off to his publisher in New York by tomorrow. Now, look, I said I'd take the time to show you both the scene of the murder, and I have. I've gone out of my way to ski way the hell and gone up to the top of the mountain to this hut where the two murders took place. Now, the least you can do...
The least you can do is stop acting like a husband and let me enjoy myself.
Well, for Pete's sake, what's to enjoy? A lonely, isolated hut on top of a mountain.
Where two women, not one, but two, and both of them blondes, like me, were slashed to death. One last year, one the year before last. Gives me goosebumps just being here. Delicious goosebumps. More thrill-making than even one of your novels, darling.
Well, now that you've had your thrill...
Well, let her finish it, Toddy, Dan.
Do me a favor, Tony. Stop interfering between Kay and me. After all, she is my wife, you know, though you seem to forget that often enough.
Well, meaning what, Dan?
Now, you know what I mean.
Well, I'm afraid I don't. You better explain that crack.
Oh, come on now. Let's not spoil it.
Dan, let's you and me get something straight. I've enjoyed being with Kay ever since I met you two last week. Now, like you say, it's a working vacation for you, and you've been holed up in your room with that typewriter of yours most of the time.
While you and Kay
have palled around together and had a few laughs together. And that's all. Not that there couldn't have been more. Kay's very attractive and just the kind that turns me on, but we've just had one big laugh together, Dad, and that is all.
You know it is, darling.
Yes. Yes, of course I do, Kay. I...
Skip it. Let's get back down to the inn.
Woo-hoo! Hey, it's turned real cold all of a sudden.
Sun's going down. Better take the south slope. It's shorter.
Uh-huh. We'll go down the way we came up. It's safer.
Dan, I'm getting cold already. Oh, blast the smoke.
Here, sweetie, let me hot to it.
And the south slope, it isn't really dangerous.
It's risky. It's too risky for you, darling. Even Hornbach warned you about it.
Stuffy old Norwegian.
Hornbach isn't stuffy, and he isn't old. Unless you call 42 old, he knows these mountains better than anyone, and he's one of the best pros around. So you listen to what he tells you. There you are. All set.
Last one back at the inn buys the hot toddy.
Okay, I said not the south slope.
Stop worrying, darling. I'll be okay.
Let her know. Tell her not to do something, and you can bet on her doing it.
There's no harm in it, Dad. She just likes to do her own thing.
Yes, and one day...
One day what?
She may do it once too often.
Dan? Dan?
Okay, please. I'm trying to finish this last chapter. Last two pages, in fact.
We're nearly an hour late for dinner already.
Well, you go on. Well, go ahead.
No, not after this afternoon.
What this afternoon?
Tony will see me alone at our table and he'll come over.
Well, what if he
and...
does? Oh, I get it. Kay, I'm sorry. I know there's nothing between you and Tony.
You didn't sound that way up at the hut.
Yes, I know, but...
But what? Dan, we've been married nearly 3 years. I was 23, you were 38. I didn't think the difference in age mattered. You didn't either then. But now, is it beginning to?
I don't know, dear. Somehow I seem to get older while you get younger.
I'm not getting any younger.
Well, you certainly don't act any older. You're as reckless and as irresponsible as, what's the word I want?
Spoiled? Childish? Will that do?
Yes, I guess so. Taking the south slope this afternoon, for instance. Kay, you could have been killed.
But I wasn't. I was never more alive coming down that slope. To me, life is a dare, a risk. Unless you take the risks, you never really live.
Well, there's something in that. But you can't go too far, Kay. You did this afternoon. You did a year ago when I came here to finish my last Minerva Twine mystery and left you in New York.
So the horse didn't clear the jump.
Well, you didn't have to take that higher jump. You could have broken your neck instead of your collarbone. And what about the year before that? I came out here to finish another novel, and you...
I know, and I've never parachuted before, and it is a new sport, Dan.
Yes, and when Sandy Dowling dared you to try it, you had to take the dare. Busted an ankle that time.
I guess from here on, you're saddled with bringing me along when you come here to finish a book.
Well, what do you think I brought you this time?
Oh, Dan, darling, am I more trouble than I'm worth?
Well, you're trouble, all right. But you're worth it.
Now, be serious now. You've been coming here the last 2 years alone, so you could be alone and finish a book without any interruptions. Have I ruined that for you? Because if I have...
Don't be silly. It's been wonderful having you with me, Kay. And see, less than two pages to the end. I'll mail the finished manuscript off tomorrow, right on schedule. And then, sweetheart, the handsome Tony Shaw will have to find another playmate. Because I'll be your playmate from then on.
Oh, Dan, I love you so.
We'll just build that up into adoration. And we'll start even. Now, come on, dinner.
Indian Wells, Dan? All the way to Indian Wells just to mail a manuscript?
What do you mean, just to mail a manuscript? It's Dan Wiley's latest Minerva Twine mystery.
Yes, but the round trip to Indian Wells, it takes at least half a day. Why not mail it from the inn here?
Well, that's too chancy, Tony. Indian Wells is a good-sized town with a good-sized post office. And, Otto Hornbach, come and join us for coffee.
No, I thank you.
Well, come on, sit down.
I said no.
Well, what's happened to our jovial ski pro? Something soured you, Otto?
I know what soured him. You heard about me taking the south slope this afternoon, didn't you, Otto?
After I warned you, you weren't ready for anything that steep yet? I suppose he put you up to it.
Tony?
Him and his practical jokes?
Oh, ye gods, Otto. That was 2 years ago. You still holding that against me?
It wasn't funny, and I don't forget easy, Tony.
Tony, what did you do to Otto?
Oh, he was giving me a lesson. I fell. Well, I pretended I busted my leg. Otto, you acted as if I'd broken my spine.
Accidents are not jokes. Not to me. I see too many. I do not like practical jokes. And, Mrs. Wiley, I do not like people to ignore my warnings.
Otto, I'm sorry.
Sorry is not enough. I warned you, but you went ahead anyway, and you could have killed yourself. Like Mrs. Horner killed herself last year, and Miss Yates the year before that.
Killed themselves? They were killed, Otto. They were murdered.
I say they killed themselves. I warned them. When you ski alone, I said to each of them, I said it. More than once I said it. When you ski alone by yourself, stay close to the inn. Do not go far off. So if you have an accident, no one will know till maybe too late.
The hut is far at the top of a mountain.
Yes, and if we have a sudden blizzard, almost impossible to reach. But they did not heed any warning. Like you, Mrs. Wiley. Sometimes I think all you young women are the same. Heedless, reckless, spoiled know-it-alls.
Hey, Otto, take it easy. You're talking to my wife.
The way you should talk to her, maybe.
Now, look, Otto.
All right, I'm sorry. I apologize. But I get upset when people ignore my warnings. Excuse me now.
Well, he's really ticked off at you, Kay.
At me, too. Oh, maybe I can't blame him. That practical joke of mine, I guess I went too far. Listen, you two, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll go and buy him a drink. Bury the hatchet.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I'll see you.
Otto's right, you know, Kay. So do me a favor, will you?
You have but to command me, Matt.
No, seriously. I'll be gone all afternoon tomorrow, and I want you to stay close to the inn. Above all, don't go near that hut.
The scene of the crime? Or should I say crimes? Why not?
Just don't, that's all.
Dan, you do sound serious.
I am, very serious.
But why? But, oh, I know. The murders, those two gals hacked and slashed to death. They happened just about this time of year, didn't they?
Yes.
And you think another murder?
It's possible. They never caught the murderer, you know. He's still on the loose.
Okay, oh,
listen to me for once. I have a theory about these murders. I'm probably wrong, but if I just happen to be right, another murder could take place up there in that hut. And it could take place tomorrow.
Tomorrow? What gives you that idea?
Never mind. Just do as I ask you, will you? Just stay close to the inn. And above all, stay away from that hut.
You sort of made me want to go up there now.
What? Oh, yes, of course. Warn you not to do something, and you're almost compelled to do it, aren't you?
Maybe that's why you warned me.
What?
So I will go. And who will be waiting for me there with a big, sharp knife but you?
Kay.
Well, didn't something like that happen in one of your mysteries? The one where the loving husband lured his wife into a trap and murdered her?
You know, Kay, you're something else. There's only one place I've ever wanted to lure you.
Where?
Well, you know where. Now, come on, finish it, copy. And fast.
About what?
Oh, about skiers getting caught up here on top of the mountain in a sudden blizzard. I say there's one coming from the look of those clouds out there and the force of the wind.
Not to worry. If it starts snowing, we'll start right back down.
On the south slope, no doubt.
No doubt. How about opening the thermos and letting me have a hot toddy? I can use it.
Oh, me too. Just being in this hut is enough to chill you.
Because a couple of murders were done here? That scares you?
Oh, I didn't say me. I said you.
Doesn't scare me.
Oh, maybe it ought to. Here, hot toddy.
Thanks. Why?
Hmm?
Why ought it to scare me?
Well, you told me Dan warned you not to come up here to the hut while he was away. Right?
Right.
Because he thought another murder number three, could take place today? Right?
Right.
Well, could be Dan knows something we don't know. Could be another woman, another blonde, is going to be slashed to death today.
Me?
You.
What have I got to worry about? I'm with you.
Precisely.
What?
I said precisely. You're here alone, far from the inn, in a hut that's been the scene of two murders, each at this time of the year. And you're here because a man you scarcely know, me, dared you to come.
As I said earlier, the piper must always be paid. I can't help wondering if Kay's piper isn't asking for payment now. Payment in full. I'll return shortly for Act Two.
This mystery's really thrilling me.
The suspense is really killing me. Just sitting here by the radio
with Vigna Rosé Wine.
Say this Vigna Rosé is delicious.
It goes with so many dishes.
Or all alone by the radio. Vigna Rosé Wine, Vigna Rosé Wine. Come let me pour you some more Vigna. At the prices of value, if you know what I mean.
Now let's go back to our mystery show.
But I have one question before I go. What's light and refreshing imported to?
Vigna Rosé Wine.
That's the answer, Vigna Rosé Wine.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
What a wine.
Imported by Udline, Hartford, Connecticut.
Ever been riding along in your car and hear a radio announcement asking you to go to your local hospital to make an emergency blood donation?
For donors with B negative blood.
Happens every day.
Call that hospital immediately.
How come blood is in such short supply that emergency pleas have to be made? Because not enough people give blood. It's that simple. We know you're busy these days, but think, you're alive and well too, and you could help others to be that way. Your easy donation of blood to Red Cross or any other volunteer blood bank actually helps a number of people. Because the blood you give is split up into various components, sometimes as many as five. It gives life to a whole lot of people. So don't wait for an emergency announcement before you call your local Red Cross blood bank. If you call now, there doesn't have to be a blood emergency.
Today's weather, sunny and mild, high.
Wiley finds herself in what well may be a murderous situation, which is to say, she may be murdered in a matter of minutes or less. Ignoring the warning of her husband, mystery novelist Dan Wiley, she has blithely gone off with Tony Shaw, a man she scarcely knows, to an isolated mountain hut where two murders have already taken place. To judge from the look on Kay's face, Tony is speaking the truth when he says...
Let me give you a refill on that toddy, Kay. You look as if you could use it.
You're not the murderer.
How do you know?
Oh, come on now, Tony.
No, seriously. How do you know?
Really, Tony, do you expect me to fall for one of your silly practical jokes?
I'm not joking, Kay. This is for real.
Tony, you're going too far. A joke is a joke, but... Pulling a knife on me.
Pulling a knife? Me? Oh, no. Just showing it to you, Kay. You've seen it before. Always carry it with me. Comes in handy now and then. Like, when I used it to repair that strap on your ski boot the other day.
I remember, yes.
So, don't jump to conclusions about me pulling a knife on you. Oh, I could be, couldn't I?
Tony, if you don't stop this nonsense...
I could, couldn't I?
Yes, I guess you could, except...
Except what?
You'd be crazy. Kill me and you'd never get away with it.
No? Why not?
Well, they know. Back at the inn, they know I came up here with you.
They do?
Well, anyhow, that we went skiing together.
How do they know that? It's coming back to you now, isn't it?
You told me to go on ahead, that you'd meet me at the bottom of the trail. They don't know I'm up here with you. They don't even know we're together.
Exactly. So now you see the spot you could have put yourself in. You could be dead right now. Murdered. Slashed to ribbons. The way the other two were.
What? I don't understand.
I'm no murderer, Kay.
Then why have you pretended?
I haven't pretended anything. No practical joke either, if that's what you're thinking. All I've done is open your eyes to the spot you might have got yourself into through foolishness.
Foolishness?
All right, childishness. Indifference to what serious consequences could result from your anything-for-a-thrill attitude.
Now you sound like Dan.
Oh?
Well, you know, he's forever warning me that sooner or later I'll take one dare too many.
And you could have this time.
Well, I didn't.
You may yet.
Look, Tony, enough is enough.
Now, let me tell you who I really am. I'm not the practical, joking ski bum I pretend to be. I'm a security officer.
Security officer?
I'm a kind of detective. In fact, I have my own agency back in San Francisco.
I don't understand.
Well, just listen to me and you will. Back 2 years ago, after the first murder took place, the inn management hired me to find the killer.
You? Why you? What about the local police?
Oh, the local cops are a laugh. Just the sheriff and his deputy. The Indian Wells police came up with nothing. So they called me in. The management of the inn, I mean. And I'm afraid I blew it last season. The second murder was done right under my nose. But not this season. No, no. This time I'm just a few steps ahead of the killer. And that's where you come in.
And where exactly is that, Sherlock?
You're the bait.
Oh, no. Not little Kay Wiley.
Oh, yes. You're marked for death no matter where you are. Sooner or later, the man who murdered those two blondes in this hut is going to murder you.
You sound as if you know who he is.
I'm pretty sure I do.
Who?
Your husband, Dan Wiley.
Tony, you're crazy.
I wish I were.
Dan's in Indian Wells. Right now in Indian Wells, mailing a... No?
No. I could be wrong. But if I'm right, he never went to Indian Wells.
Dan Wiley, what are you doing out here on ski? I thought you had gone to Indian Wells.
No, Otto, I...
But I saw you leave an hour ago. Drive off in your car.
I changed my mind. I was going to mail a manuscript to my publisher, but... Halfway to Indian Wells, would you believe it, Otto? I suddenly thought of a different ending, and a better one.
Ah, this means you have to sit and write a whole new end?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Me, I would never be a writer. They work too hard.
You better believe it. See my wife, Otto?
She went off skiing not long after you left.
Oh, anybody with her?
No, she went by herself. And I tell you this, I warned her again to stay off the South Slope.
Well, you can save your breath, Otto.
I know. I'm telling you, lay down the law before it is too late. Show her who is boss, who wears the pants.
Oh, it's nothing like that. Kay isn't bossy. She doesn't try to wear the pants or anything like that. She's just young and exuberant. You can tell Kay not to do something and you bet she'll do it.
Huh? Obstinate.
No, just... I don't know, more like a child. Do you, know where she is right now?
I told you I don't know.
Oh. Well, I'd be willing to bet she's up at the hut. The murder hut.
Why would you bet on that?
Because I told her not to go there while I was away in Indian Wells.
So you think she went?
I'm practically sure she did.
I will never understand women, never.
No, me neither. Well, see you, Otto. You going to meet your wife up at the hut?
No, I'm going to meet a typewriter in my room. So long.
So long.
Look, no, wait, Dan. Glad he didn't hear me, this wind. It's funny, though. If he knew she would go to the hut when he told her to stay away from it. Huh. It's funny.
is why he deliberately warned you to stay away from here.
So I'd come here? What kind of sense does that make?
Kay, you all right?
Yes. You've kind of knocked the breath out of me, Tony. I still can't believe... But you're right. Everything you've said is so true. In the few years we've been married, I never have got to know him, not really know him. He's married to that typewriter of his more than to me. And yes, he did come here last year and the year before without me. Said he had to be alone to finish a novel.
But this time he brought you along. Why? Did you insist?
No, I'd never think of interfering with his work. No, he asked me to come. And when I said maybe it would be better if I didn't, he insisted.
Figures.
But I just can't believe...
If I'm right, if Dan is the murderer, he'll show up here in a few minutes. And I don't want to be here when he does.
All right, then, let's go. But, Tony, I just can't believe this of Dan, and I'm not going to. As I said, I haven't got to know him as well as I'd like, but... Good Lord, you can't be married to a man for nearly 3 years without knowing that he isn't a killer. And that's one thing Dan is not. I'd stake my life on it.
That's exactly what you're going to do.
What do you mean?
I'm leaving, but you're staying here.
Tony!
He didn't go to Indian Wells. I'm positive he didn't. He knows you're here because he made a point of warning you not to come here. Now, look. You've got nothing to worry about. I won't be far, just up in that stand of cottonwoods. They won't see me, but I'll see him when he arrives.
And then what?
When he makes his move, I'll make mine. I'll be right outside that door when he makes it.
What you're saying is when he attacks me with a knife.
Exactly.
Tony, I can't go through with this.
You've got to if you want to help me catch him.
I don't want to help you catch him. Oh, I don't know what I mean. He's my husband. I love him. I can't believe he's a murderer.
Well, then you've got nothing to fear, have you? If I'm wrong and you're right, nothing will happen. Not a thing.
But if it's the other way around...
Well, then I think this time you'll get a thrill to end all thrills.
I can't believe this is happening.
Believe me, it is. Okay, I'm off.
No, Tony, please, no.
Come on now, Kay.
I can't do this. I'm scared to death, Tony.
If you don't believe Dan's the killer...
I'd be a fool not to realize the things you've said are true. Tony, don't leave me. Please. Please.
Well, I guess I had you taped all wrong.
What do you mean?
Kay Wiley, who dare anything. Kay Wiley, who parachuted from a plane on a dare, jumped a horse over the highest hurdle. Oh, yes, I heard all about that. I saw you make the South Slope on skis yesterday.
Yes, I've taken some dares again and again because...
Yes, because what?
Because I was afraid.
Afraid?
Petrified. Tony, I'm the worst coward in the world. The daring Kay Wiley is a mask, a front. I forced myself to take dares just so I could prove to myself that I'm not a coward. But underneath, I am. And, Tony, this is one dare I can't take.
I promise you, I'll be right outside waiting. If you don't take the dare, if you refuse to stay here and face him, you'll never know, will you?
No.
Whether he's a murderer or isn't. Oh, Dan.
What is it?
There's somebody coming up the trail.
Dan?
I can't tell. Snow blurs everything. But it's got to be him. Now, look, will you stay?
I...
You've got no choice. You've got to find out. You've got to have the nerve to find out. All right, I'll see you.
Tony! Oh, no. Dan.
Hello, Kay.
We can well imagine Kay's feelings as Dan Wiley enters the hut, proving Tony right. A curious situation. A woman facing the man she loves, her husband, not sure if he's a murderer. Certainly looks as if he is. And yet... Well, we'll learn more when I return for Act Three.
You're on the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century.
because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. mid-sized car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick.
Living free.
Here's a riddle. Name a giant that lives in the ocean but can't breathe underwater. A giant that sings songs but has no vocal cords. Give up? It's a whale. One of the most fascinating giants that ever lived. And what's more, these giants have enormous brains and impressive intelligence. Let's use some of ours to save them from extinction. A message from the National Audubon Society and its local chapters.
The Marine Corps reserves are looking for a few good men to help keep the peace. We're looking for men who understand that nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. We want men who want to see their children grow up in an age of peace. Men who will do more than wish for it. Men who will work for it. Men who don't need the draft to know there's a job to be done. Men who ask themselves what they can do for their country and do it. We're looking for a few good men to stand with the Marine Corps Reserve. No shortcuts, no compromises, no promises except one. You'll be a Marine, and you'll be ready. That's the job of a peacekeeper.
How would you feel? Your husband, the man you love, stands before you and, for all you know, has come to kill you. Indeed, cleverly lured you into a trap. Surely you'd be torn with uncertainty, caught between love and fear, and underneath these emotions would writhe despair. For if he is your killer, this man you love, you'd just as soon be dead anyway.
I thought I'd find you here, Kay.
I know.
You know?
I'm not totally naive, Dan. You knew when you warned me not to come that I would.
Well, why the devil would I figure you would come when I begged you not to?
Because I'm like the victim in your last novel, Death is a Blonde. You based that character on me, didn't you? I was the model for her.
Okay. Okay, so what of it?
Her husband knew she had a contradictory streak in her. I even remember the words you used to describe her. Contrary, as wayward as a child. And he used it to lure her to her death.
Kay, things like that happen in novels, not real life. So you're not implying that I lured you here to kill you? Is that what you're saying?
You said you were going to Indian Wells. What are you doing here?
Well, to be honest about it, I had no intention of going to Indian Wells. I told you that, and I spread the story around the inn to throw the murderer off my track. Yes. I have a feeling he knows I suspect him. But I also know he strikes when the moon turns full. Kay, I'm all but sure he's a homicidal maniac who has to kill. He can't help himself, you see, when the moon turns full this month of the year.
You've got to be out of your mind. Maniacs who have to kill because of a full moon? That only happens in novels.
Oh, no. In real life, Kay. You see, the full moon has a powerful effect on people, on the world, if it comes to that.
Right now, it's only 3 p.m. There isn't any moon at all.
Kay, sweetheart, you can't see it, but it's there. And according to the lunar tables, it turned full about 5 minutes ago. That's why I didn't want you to come here this afternoon. Now, coming here, you set yourself up for the kill played right into the murderer's hands.
What if I hadn't ignored your warning, hadn't come here?
Well, he'd have tried to lure you here. You were some other blonde at the inn.
Blonde?
Yes, both previous victims have been blondes. And I'm sure the third will be, too.
You seem awfully sure.
Yes, I am. I'm very sure. And when you're looking at me, Kay, you do think I'm the killer, don't you?
No,
yes,
no,
you do. I can see it in your eyes. You're afraid of me. Good Lord, Kay, how can you be after nearly 3 years of marriage, 3 years of living with me? How can you be? And don't pull away.
I don't know you. That's the trouble. I don't know you at all.
What in blazes are you saying?
Don't. Please, don't come near me. I am afraid of you. I don't want to be. It almost makes me ashamed because I love you and I want to trust you and should trust you, but...
But you don't. Why not? Have I ever given you reason to distrust me?
Why did you come here alone last year and the year before?
Well, you know why.
I know what you told me. That it was always a habit of yours before we were married. A habit to go off by yourself to finish a novel.
Well, it is.
Then why did you bring me along this time?
Because you begged me to let you come along and I finally gave in. What other reason would... Oh, wait a minute. Now I begin to see why you think... Yes, of course, that's it. I was here last year when the second murder took place, and the year before that when the first blonde got it.
It isn't that, not that alone.
Then what?
I just don't know you. All day long, for 3 years, all day long, you've been in your office.
Working.
And half the night.
I can't stop when it's going good.
I know that, but it's kept us apart, keeps us apart, and that's why I don't know you. And don't know what I've been told is true or not. Whether you didn't go to Indian Wells for the reason you said, or another reason. What is it?
You said, I don't know if what I've been told is true or not. Told what? By whom? Did you ever come here with someone? Otto Hornbach. Yes, I talked to him half an hour ago. He said you'd gone off on your own.
Yes, I did.
What, did you meet anyone on your way up here?
Oh, I know.
Hey, this is serious.
Dan, you're hurting me.
Then answer me. Did you meet someone? Did you come here with someone else?
Yes.
Tony Shaw. Damn it, was it Tony?
Yes.
Where is he now?
You've got a gun.
I'd be a fool to go hunting a killer without one. Now, where is he?
Right behind you. Don't move. There's a gun in your back. Drop yours now. All right, pick it up, Kay. Don't do it, Dan. Don't turn. All right, let me have it, Kay. Thank you. Now you can turn around, Dan.
A knife.
The end of the handle stuck in your back. You fell for one of the oldest tricks in the book, and you a mystery story writer.
Well, at least I was right about you.
Right about me?
Look, I'll make a deal with you, Tony. Let Kay go. Kill me instead.
Tony? Tony's the murderer?
Oh, he's trying to pull the wool over your eyes, sweetie.
You're no ski bum, Tony. You've been acting a part, and you're a lousy actor.
He's the security officer at the inn, he says.
Yes, a security officer who carries a knife, huh? Now I'll tell one.
Slashed to death, those women... Both flat.
Now, don't get all psyched up. The knife's a tool, not a weapon. I've never needed a gun.
Well, you seem to need one now.
Precaution, that's all. I can handle you with both hands tied behind my back. Judo black belt.
Oh, really? Then suppose we just find out about break your arm. Get a K.
I got it.
All right. I'm sorry, Tony. I'll take the gun now, K. K.
No.
What?
I don't know which of you to trust now. I'm sorry, Dan.
So am I, honey. I don't blame you. Everything you said, you were right. Maybe you just should have said it sooner.
You were always too busy.
Yes, I guess I was.
Hello! Hello, the hot!
Otto! Otto Hornbach! Oh, thank God! Otto!
What is this?
Take this. Take it.
What? A gun?
Just holding it scares me. Take it, take it.
All right, come inside. What is going on here?
I don't know. I'm so confused.
Tony,
stop.
Dan, what has happened?
Well, to give it to you straight, Otto, I've got reason to think Tony Shaw is the man who murdered two women in this hut and was bent on murdering a third.
Now, he's a liar, Otto. He's the killer, not me.
Oh, how could that be?
The one thing, he pretended he was going to Indian Wells today.
Oh, I know that. Like I also know you are not a guest here. You are a detective.
You know that? How?
Oh, I look at the files in the office. I see you are on the payroll. And why? And as for you, Dan, last year and the year before, you mailed your manuscript from the inn. But
this year, for no good reason, you have to go to Indian Wells. That story you told me about another ending to your novel. Oh, I'm not a fool, Dan. I wasn't born yesterday. As for either one of you being the murderer, you can't be. I am.
You?
Me. And you, my next victim. Almost from the first day you came, my next victim.
Why?
Because you are like she was, my Helga. She put me through a hell on earth. She must have her way, not mine. Do always what she wanted, not what I wanted. She came first, me second. I didn't matter.
But okay isn't like
they all are. Her kind. They're always, you know, they are always small and blonde. Helpless, dependent, in need of your strength. At first you're taken in, poor little thing. So helpless, so dependent on you, so in need of your strength, your masculine strength. So you give it a little here, a little there, and gradually, so gradually, you don't know it is happening. You give her all your strength, and there's none left for you. You are caught. You are trapped in a web you thought was made of love, but is really made of what? Of ego. That's what they call it. Ego. The I of I am this, and I want that, and nobody matters but me.
Oh, I know.
Leave him alone. Let him talk it out.
You are Helga.
Me?
Oh, not just you. At the inn, there are Helgas all the time. At least three or four each season. Spoiled, determined, pampered, coddled by fools. The husbands they are destroying as Helga destroyed me. Me. Or nearly did. I woke up in time and destroyed her.
With a knife, Otto?
It was handy in the kitchen and happened. And I loved her. Even when I was killing her and driving the knife home again and again, I loved her. Isn't that strange? You see? So now I must kill you, like Mrs. Horner last year, and Miss Yates the year before that. Kill you see, to save him.
Otto, I don't need saving.
Dan, you can't handle this. Neither can Tony. Only a woman can handle this, if it can be handled.
You see, you hear what she says. Only a woman can handle it. Oh, spoiled, rotten.
No, Otto, scared. Scared, rotten. The way Helga was, and Mrs. Horner, and Miss Yates.
Scared? Mrs. Horner, Miss Yates? You?
And Helga.
Oh, no. No, that is not so. She had me trapped.
Because she was afraid of what would happen if she didn't trap you. Otto, she trapped you because she loved you and was afraid she might lose you.
Lose me? To who lose me?
Another woman.
Another? But, oh, there were no other women?
There are always other women.
Which of you first?
Otto,
I'm sorry, but you must die before I kill her. Not witnesses. I cannot have witnesses.
For God's sake, Otto, didn't you hear what Kay said? She just told you a simple truth, a simple womanly truth. A woman traps a man because she loves him, and she's scared to death of losing
him. She lies. Like all women, she lies. All right, which one first, huh? Tony? Dan?
Me.
Kay, what in blazes are you
doing? I'm between you now. Between him and you. He'll have to shoot me first. When he does, jump him.
And I thought you said you had no nerve.
Get out of the way.
Kay, please.
Jump him when he fires. Well, go on, Otto. Shoot.
Get out of the way. You, I must kill with the knife.
Sorry. Change of plan. A gun this time, Otto. A gun or nothing. Give it to me. Or shoot.
Another step. One more and I kill you.
You're going to kill me anyhow, so what have I got to lose? Give me that gun.
No, wait.
What?
Kay.
Okay, it works both ways. Now get out of his way. Let him shoot us first. That'll give you a second or two to get out that door.
And leave you here, dead? Do you think I'd want to go on living? Out of the gun.
You mean it? You mean what you say?
Of course I mean it. Why else would I...
But I don't understand. You would give your life to save his? No. Oh, no. Is it not possible? Women are... Oh, no, they are selfish. They come first. Always they come first. All of them.
Not all, Otto. Not every woman is like... Your Helga must have been.
I was wrong about Miss Yates, Mrs. Horner.
I don't know about them, but you're certainly wrong about me.
Wrong? Wrong. Oh, no!
Helga, no!
Oh, my God.
Kay?
I'm all right. Better see to him.
Crazy. Shot himself.
Dan, is he...
No, he's breathing. And we'd better get him down to the inn fast.
I'll give you a hand.
Kay, sweetheart. You saved our lives. Believe me, from here on, you can take all the dears you want, and I won't say a word.
You won't have to, Dan. There aren't going to be any more. I just took my last.
Luckily, though, Kay Wiley paid the piper, as must we all. The price was not exorbitant. Her life. You ask me, she got off easily. How about you? You building up a debt you'll have to settle one day with your piper? Better do a little thinking about that. Better do a little thinking myself. I'll be back shortly.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off, the sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Hornback, you'll want to know, lives comfortably today in a rest home. Tony Shaw is back in San Francisco. As for Dan and Kay Wiley, well, Kay doesn't take any dares anymore. She's much too busy bringing up the twins. Dan continues to be a very successful writer of mysteries. Incidentally, you needn't bother to buy his latest Minerva Twine mystery. You just heard it dramatized. Cast included Rosemary Harris, Larry Haynes, Ralph Bell, and Norman Rose. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Preview of our next tale.
Scorpio, this is a bad day for you. Your sudden death is imminent. Be sure to put all your affairs in order. You cannot escape the inevitability of the stars. It is a hard prediction to face, but it can only be justified out of what you've done to deserve it. Damn, are they out of their minds? That shaky little mouse, Ethel, writing a bomb like this. She'll have scared 25,000 people out of their wits.
This is Amanda Amherst. Put me through to the managing editor.
Oh, come on, come on.
Adam, it's Amanda. I want the presses stopped. Hold all deliveries and do everything you can to get our first run off the stands.
Why?
Just read Ethel Nixon's column for today and you'll see. I'm on my way down there now, and when I find out what's going on, heads are going to roll, and brother, none of them will be mine.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. A bomb has rocked a building in Northern California. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. David Fowler of CBS radio station KCBS has details on the bomb story.
The strong explosion blew out two restrooms and a sauna bath on the first floor of this three-story San Jose, California office building, causing about $100,000 damage. The building houses the offices of Democratic Congressman Norman Mineta, offices of Pacific Telephone and Telegraph Company, a division of General Motors, and three radio stations. The types of places, sometimes targets of revolutionary activity in the past, but this time, no communiques or bomb threats were received. The bomb expert investigating this case is Art Huckabee of the San Jose Police Department.
This damage does not have the characteristics of being of a real high explosive or military type. It has more characteristics that signify a dynamite type explosive.
Walls were blown out by the explosion. Police and Treasury agents are still here trying to piece together the device to see what it was. David Fowler for CBS News, San Jose, California.
The FBI says it has not been able to confirm a report by a Los Angeles man that he was kidnapped last Friday by three women, one of them Patricia Hearst. The FBI says it knows about the kidnapping, but that the man's report has caused no new FBI investigation. Today is the first anniversary of the kidnapping of Miss Hearst. The Symbionese Liberation Army claims responsibility for the kidnapping. Ms. Hearst has said in a tape recording that she has joined the SLA. More news in a minute.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. It's a little better.
6 or 3 or 1.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give your cold a contact.
For up to 12 hours, continuous relief of those symptoms. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
President Ford has taken his plea for support on energy and economic proposals to the South. Bob Schieffer reports from Atlanta.
The president had dinner with governors of 8 southern states, including Alabama's George Wallace. No detailed report yet on what they discussed, but as the dinner broke up and the group headed for another discussion in the president's hotel suite, Mr. Ford seemed pleased with the way the talks are going and gave newsmen this brief report.
I've been very grateful that the governors came from the various states to sit down and talk about where we we have to go, both in energy and in the economy. I'm deeply grateful that the governors have come and are willing to discuss the problems that are of deep concern to all of us.
The president holds an early morning meeting with local editors and publishers here. He's planning another speech at noon and will hold a news conference at mid-afternoon before returning to Washington. Bob Schieffer, CBS News, Atlanta.
After a four-hour meeting with the president last night, the southern governors told reporters that they support Mr. Ford's opposition to gasoline rationing, but that they are still skeptical of his energy program, including a tax on oil imports. The president's annual report on the nation's economy goes to Congress today. Mr. Ford said yesterday that the report will not be good, that it will forecast higher unemployment and a cost of living increase of about 9% this year. The president said that his economic advisors still believe the economy will get better by the middle of the year and that by the end of 1976 it will be growing at a rate of 5%. The budget Mr. Ford sent Congress yesterday forecast a 3.3% economic decline for all of this year, that on top of a 2.2% decline last year. Now this message.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
A group of about 40 Indians, which occupied a Catholic estate in Wisconsin for more than a month, is in jail this morning. After being evacuated from the Abbey, the Indians were taken to the Shawnee County Jail, where they were booked, but the charges have not been disclosed. The Indians agreed to leave the estate after reaching agreement with the Catholic brothers who own the estate. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Former White House aide Eagle Crow Jr. told a Washington State Supreme Court yesterday his confession to Watergate offenses was what he called a matter of conscience and pleaded with the court not to disbar him from his legal practice. Crow stood before the nine-member court in Olympia, Washington for 15 minutes answering questions from the judges. He pleaded guilty to a charge of conspiracy in the burglary of the offices of Dr. Lewis Fielding, Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist. But he told Justice Hugh Rosolino that he did this as a matter of conscience and not as the result of plea bargaining. He said that there was no understanding with anyone that a guilty plea would save him from disbarment. The Washington State Bar Association Disciplinary Board has recommended that Crow be disbarred. A hearing panel has recommended only a nine-month suspension. The Supreme Court now faces the decision on Crow's punishment in Washington State. A 42-year-old Eugene real estate appraiser, Richard Blinkhorn, was placed on five-year probation Monday for willful failure to file a federal tax return. U.S. District Court Judge Otto Scopel ordered as conditions of probation that Blinkhorn pay all taxes he owes the federal government and the state of Oregon and that he pay a $3,000 fine. He originally was charged with failing to file returns for 1968 and 69, but pleaded guilty to one of the charges and the other was dismissed. Well, the shiny new electronic voting machine sputtered to a stop today, and Oregon House members squabbled over two Ways and Means Appropriations bill. Early in the day's session, several legislators urged their colleagues to vote against the $111,000 appropriation bill for the Board of Tax Examiners, claiming that the board was useless and created under the guise of consumer protection. Representative Dick Magruder of Clatskanie urged a no vote, while Sam Johnson of Redmond argued in favor of the bill. The bill then passed 36-23. The second appropriation measure to run into trouble was the budget of the State Board of Masseurs. Representative Roger Martin of Lake Oswego asked his colleagues to send the budget bill back to the House Judiciary Committee to allow the committee to rewrite and strengthen the law regarding operation of massage parlors. The motion was defeated 39-20, and the bill was passed. Then, when the last appropriation bill of the day came up for a final vote, Speaker of the House Phil Lang of Portland interrupted the proceedings. Legislators were about to vote on the measure which approved the budget of the Naturopathic Board of Examiners. The electronic voting system, in use in the House since the session began January 13th, had stopped functioning. Lang instructed the legislators to pass on the measure in a voice vote via a roll call, and the measure passed 57-2. Governor Bob Straub has appointed Vernon Boyer of Prineville as Crook County Justice of the Peace. The 64-year-old Pryor will succeed Patricia Evan, whose resignation becomes effective February 14th. The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area: a few brief showers with partial clearing periods today through Wednesday. Highs both days 40 to 45, low tonight near 30. Southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour with higher gusts in the eastern areas. Chance of measurable precipitation 60% today and tonight. Currently in downtown Portland, it's 35 degrees, and that's KOIN News at 12:09. This is Alan Archer.